Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Do you have a business idea or you want a business idea? This is the episode for you. You have to meet Jillian Swartz. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Jillian Swartz. Jillian is the founder of Bellwether Branders, a team who work with solopreneurs and mom and pop shop agencies to develop their brand and business. And here's the deal with Jillian. Her passion is in business startups. She's owned businesses since 1998. PSA 3 is one, an online magazine is another, and Bellwether Branders is one more. So Jillian, I know we're going to hear more about your businesses and more about your story. First, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be chatting with you.
And I'm really excited for what you have to offer my listeners. So thanks again. Cool. I know you brought a quote to share with us. Can you tell us what that is?
I will. It's jump and a net will appear. I know it's kind of hackneyed and it's, you know, it's not this revolutionary new quote that everybody's talking about. It's tried and true, but it really is something. It's basically the sieve through which I funnel every decision that I make, because ultimately in life, you just have to go for it.
I love that. And I love that you're about risk taking. And it was so funny, Jillian, because when we started talking about your passion and how to like really narrow down what your passion is for our show, because I find your accomplishments pretty cool. And I know my listeners will benefit from them. So when we were having our discussion about how to narrow it down, your reaction was, well, see, the problem is that, you know, my passion is what I do for a living. And I said, yes, that's exactly it.
Right.
So describe your passion and how it all started for you, for everybody.
So basically my passion is living in my passion. and it's funny because to me, and we kind of were going back and forth on this briefly, there's no differentiation between work and passion and fun and life and gusto and motivation. It's all rolled up together. And I thought about this a lot. And I recently realized, because I was kind of teaching my kids just about, you know, the hearing no and how to recover from that. And I said, you know, I was always picked last in grammar school, junior high, and high school. Even my best friends would pick me last in gym. And because I'm just not an athlete, and that's just how it goes. So, but I think that it was such a prime motivator for me, because I realized as an adult, or as soon as I could, that I would always put myself in a position where I couldn't be picked last. I just usurped the position on top and stuck myself there. And then that way I got to not only pick myself first, I got to pick the game, I got to pick who was involved. And it's just funny because I think it's really a core motivator for me just to, you know, and now I do it automatically and I do it because I love it. But that's really, I think, the genesis of why I start businesses.
I think that's really a unique perspective and one that demonstrates what I always talk about, which is that life is a process and everything that we encounter just creates our purpose and teaches us lessons and changes us to move in a specific direction. So, you know, everybody feels badly when people talk about being picked last,
right,
I mean, my whole core, I was having a conversation with another coach this morning and I said, you know, my whole core is to include people. Mm-hmm. Like I have a private group in Facebook. It's Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. And that's mm-hmm. what I do there. I want people to have a place where they feel there is a sense of belonging and support. It bothers me so much. However, your story makes me smile because I always feel bad that you can't help everybody.
Right.
And I feel bad thinking about people who might be alone somewhere, feeling down on themselves. That really does bother me. And
yeah.
But your story makes me smile because it makes me feel okay about those people that I don't reach or who aren't reached by somebody because of that. They were meant to experience that, to move forward and create what you were creating.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's about what are you given? You're given, we're all given, you know, the cards. How do you play them to your advantage? How do you leverage what you have? And, you know, and then it becomes like, now it's fun and it's not a, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I'm not worried about not being picked, but I had to kind of create that. I had to look at this. It's, like you said, doesn't feel good. And say, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to always just be the person that's like, well, guess I'm not a good athlete. Guess you're going to pick me last. And you know, and or am I going to say, I'm going to do my own game. And, you know, and I think that that's what people get sucked into. Like, there's one way to do something. There's one way to do something. I look at everything in life as, okay, there are a few ways to do something, but how do I want to do it?
Now, what was your first business that you created?
My first business. So in college and right after college, I was working at a record label called London Records, which was a subsidiary of PolyGram. And it was for a 17, 18, 19-year-old girl, like it was the greatest place to be at that age. It was so much fun and it was so cool. And it wasn't corporate by, you know, quote unquote corporate standards, but it was still, you know, it's corporate enough. And it was fantastic. And I learned a lot. I did marketing there. And when I graduated, they offered me a job and I just said to myself, I don't think I can, at least yet, be a person who works under fluorescent lights. It was just a silly little thing that just, you know, hit me like a fluorescent light on the head. And from that point forth, I left. I took what I had learned and I took my gusto and I started an event marketing business I worked with nightclubs and I had a lot of friends in nightclubs and we threw parties. And it was, again, a really cool place to be. And I learned a lot and it was also fun. And I did that for the duration of when I was in Manhattan. And I think what I'm going to talk about is you'll see, like, I just kind of go with what I like and then I figure out a way how to make money from it. Thank God. So from there, I moved back to New Jersey and was done with the nightclub scene. Done, period, over. It is fantastic, but it really can, you know, it robs. It's a little bit soul robbing after a while because it's exhausting. And when I moved down here, I thought in New Jersey, I live about 10 minutes from the beach. I thought it's such a great area, so many great people, so many happening things going on, but it's not Manhattan, but it's still really fantastic. Let's turn the spotlight on that. So I launched a regional magazine knowing I have a journalism background, but I knew nothing about print magazine.
Online magazine?
No, this was print. This was kind of, I mean, obviously online existed, but online wasn't, it was still a bit peripheral. This was, at least for startups, it was a bit peripheral. It was in the early 2000s. So I did print and this amazing magazine called MAR, which was an acronym for Mid-Atlantic Riviera, which was a goofy name I made up for the area that I live in. And in our first year, we had $1 million in advertising and we had celebrity shoots and it was the best of time and the worst of time. I learned everything. After that, I sold that business and then I realized I like the journalism aspect. I like magazine, but print is cost prohibitive and really a dying breed. So then I launched with a partner an online magazine that you're referring to called The Family Groove, which was the first of its kind. This was before blogs. So I had just become a mom again. It was about where I was in my life and how do I make money from it. And I wanted to work from home. So it was a magazine to help other women and men in my position who were kind of like in life, having a great time, making money, you know, bon vivants. And then all of a sudden you're a parent and it's like, what now? So I had to have my deputy editor explain to me what a blog was. And I thought it was the strangest concept ever, but we did it for 8 years. It was very successful. I got to be home with my kids and make money and contribute to the greater good. So it was really, really fantastic.
And then you sold that as well, right?
We did sell that. Yep. Hallelujah. Sold that. And about 4 years into having the Family Groove, I realized we had a lot of clients, a lot of advertisers. I loved counseling them on how they could grow their businesses and how they could reshift to their businesses and helping them kind of like unearth where they were really, where their passion was and what they were doing. So I launched Bellwether Branders, which is a marketing and branding agency for startups or for people who have businesses that want to take them to the next level. I did that when I was doing the Family Groove, when the Family Groove kind of ran itself more or less. And, continue to do that to this day. And I recently launched a company called PSA3, which PSA stands for Public Service Announcement. And it's a video communications agency with a focus on helping nonprofits create amazing, paradigm shifting, market disrupting PSAs.
And we actually had your partner, Amy. Yeah, Amy Sestito. Now, I've never met either one of you, but I was introduced online to Amy because she is a passionate person.
Yeah.
And her passion was actually cooking. And then because of Amy, you and I were able to connect, which I thought was really great.
I love how that works. It's such a cool time to be pursuing your passion. It really is. And yeah, I mean, and she's just, because she's such a passionate person and because she lives in that, I always say she's got Forrest Gump luck. She just is always in the right place at the right time. But that's not a coincidence.
Well, no, because, you know, energy attracts like energy. So absolutely, whatever we're putting out is coming back to us.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Absolutely.
So for my listeners who are out there right now and they're thinking, wow, I'd love to start a business, whether they have an idea of what it would be or they don't know just yet. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love that you're saying is connect to who you are and what you're doing right now, what your interest is right now. Because you know what? These things, we're constantly evolving and changing. So it's like connect to what is most important to you right now. How can you make money doing it? I think that concept is great. But how did you, never having done a magazine before, how did you get that idea? And, you know, obviously you envisioned it for yourself. You explored what it would take. But what was your first step? How did you execute the start of your first business like that?
So that's a good question. I mean, the first step, and circling back to your point, is to identify what gets you going, what lights your fire, like what kind of like makes you breathe a little faster and makes you a little bit nervous. Like, you know, that's a good litmus test of like, do I like this? Just think about like when you like a boy, or, you know, when you like someone else, you know, like that's that same feeling. It's almost a feeling of being in love. And I think in this day and age, we're fortunate enough to be able to start businesses. There's not a huge cost associated like there used to be. So if there's something in your life or anything in your life that you feel that way about, you know, really explore it, because I'm sure that you can monetize it. For me, there were these magazines in Manhattan that basically like fetishized and turned the spotlight on the Manhattan scene. And I just noticed down here, there was nothing that did that. And I knew that there was a model out there that worked and that was making money. And I just thought that would be so cool to do. And there's so many great people and great charities down here and great, you know, events going on. So I think while sometimes you may have an idea that doesn't exist at all, and that's really great, there's nothing wrong with if you look to something else, even if it's not 100% the same, but if it's somewhat the same, and kind of look at like, how is that done? There's a great quote by George Harrison when he wrote the song My Sweet Lord, and then he was sued by the writers of He's So Fine, because it's the same chords. So his famous quote is, a good artist borrows, a great artist steals. Now, I'm not advocating anybody steal anybody's intellectual property, but I think really what he was getting at is, take a look at what's out there and then figure out how to make it your own and come at it from your angle with your unique perspective. That's what I did with the magazine. We just started to make phone calls. And I think the most important thing is to never doubt yourself. Like, just keep going, because the minute that you hesitate, you'll delay yourself, and then you'll start to undo the momentum. You just, like, when you decide to do something, just do it. Just keep moving forward with it.
I love so much of what you're saying, and I want to talk to you about hesitations in one second. But first, I want to point out to my listeners something super important that you said, because we have people come on the show and they say similarly, and I agree with them, because as a writer, that's what you do. You know, you take what other people have done. You can make something similar or different that's your own, and it's totally different, but it's inspired by something you've seen before. So for what you're saying, it's just such a really great example, listeners, of how to take something somebody else is doing and make it completely your own. And you know what? I can think of multiple guests who have said something similar, but this is such a clear example. You saw a magazine that you really liked. They weren't doing something similar to that in the area where you were living, which you're talking about Red Bank, New Jersey, right?
Right.
And Red Bank is hot, hot, hot. So if Red Bank is as hot a New Jersey town as, let's say, the city is in New York City, then why not? I mean, people love Red Bank. Why not take a magazine and do something similar? And listeners, that's what I'm saying. Exactly that. If you see something that's out there, and traveling always opens up these creative opportunities. I mean, that's how we ended up. We had a karaoke business, Jillian. It was the first one at the Jersey Shore ever.
Yeah,
my husband and I, we did that for 13 years. And it sounds like, oh, karaoke. But these were big shows. And we made free tapes for everybody who sang. And
that's so cool.
Yeah. And I was able to be home with my daughter all day. Mm-hmm. And it was a blast. I mean, we had so much fun. But the point is, we traveled, saw it in Florida. My mom had seen it the year before, and she was like, you have to come see this. You would want to do this.
Yes.
And so we did. And it was my husband who was like, no, we're doing this. Of course, he's like, when he says that, he means you're getting out there and doing this. But he was my sound man, similar to what we're doing here.
Right.
You see me, but he's also behind the scenes.
Got you.
Sound man for life. That's what I always say. But anyway, the point is, to my listeners, to look around and get out. Get out of your town. Go somewhere where they do things differently. It could be another town, another state, another city, another country. But see what they're doing, and then see how you can incorporate that into something you're into or you fall in love with. And I think that's what you're talking. You said fall in love. It's like a relationship. It's just you're moved by it. Like you would be moved by something or someone so personal.
Absolutely. So, and you need to have that level of emotional investment with it, because a startup is a rocky ride. And, you know, just like relationships, love relationships. I mean, it essentially is a love relationship. It's a love relationship with yourself. But, you know, you've got to love it to that degree, or else you won't stay the course.
Yeah, because it's so much work, but it's so rewarding.
Right.
Day before yesterday, I was up working at 7 a.m. and I didn't finish until after midnight.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual for what I'm doing right now.
Right. You
know, it just isn't. But I mean, I love what I'm doing. So that's where you come in and say, well, you know, but my passion is what I'm doing every day. And it's exactly, I get it.
Cool.
So what kind of hesitations or challenges did you find, though, on your journey to becoming who you are right now in relationship to business startups?
That's a good question. I mean, look, you're always going to have naysayers, and that people mean well. I actually think another good litmus test of if you're doing something right is if you've got to like frighten a few people and tick a few people off and have a few people cock their head and squint their eyes at you. Otherwise, you're not doing something important enough. Those, I think, are easy to push aside. You just kind of really turn a deaf ear to it. the majority of the hesitations were internal. And, you know, it's a constant, I mean, at this point, it's, for me, it's a well-oiled, the muscles there. So I don't need to do this as much. But certainly when you get started, you have to really keep yourself on that high-flying magic carpet plane of like, this is what I'm doing. Nothing's going to stop me. Yeah, if you kind of look at it and you add things up and you subtract them and you shake them, you know, we're not sure it's going to work out. Like, none of those things matter. What matters is that you love it. You have a clear idea of how to execute it. And though that's all processes that you work through, and that it fuels you, because, I mean, you can make money doing anything. And, you know, the majority of your day is going to be spent, if you're working in pursuit of creating something and then being paid for it. It is, I just think, a sin not to have that synced up to something, you know, greater for yourself. So I really, the biggest challenge is keeping yourself in line and not letting doubt creep in.
Because it's so much easier to talk yourself out of it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we always talk about the four energy blocks. And when you talk about self-doubt, that's definitely in there. So the first one is your inner critic, right?
Right.
Your second one would be to make assumptions. So if I failed in the past, I'm going to fail again.
Right.
The third one is interpretations, which is where you make up all those stories about everything.
Right.
You know, so-and-so didn't get back to me because they think what I'm doing is stupid, you know? And the fourth one is limiting beliefs, which is where your self-doubt comes in. I'm not smart enough. Who do I think I am to do this?
And, exactly.
Yeah. And when it comes to business startups, I really think that energy blocks are in the forefront of your mind because you're venturing out on new ground.
Absolutely. And I did this John Assaraf seminar online. And one of the takeaways that I took away from it was basically that you have to have a goal that's really out there. Because if it's something, like, I'm just going to break it down to something easy. Let's say you say to yourself, I want to make $10,000 a month. If you've ever made $10,000 a month, but you used to make that 5 years ago, but now you don't, that's not a good enough goal. You've got to give your mind a goal that almost like blow your mind with it, because basically how the brain works is that the brain will start to figure out how to make it happen. And that's how you grow. And that's how you basically obliterate limiting beliefs, or one of the ways that you obliterate limiting beliefs. I try to level up my goal on a daily basis. I mean, it's not exponential, but it's incremental. And I feel like that helps me with limiting beliefs.
I think that I took the same webinar.
Yeah.
And yeah, he talked about how he wrote down his dreams and dreamed as big as possible.
Right.
And every day he read and literally connected with his hands on top of the words that he wrote. Every day he would connect to this dream and envision it. And he would map his brain to achieve it. And he says 10 years later, he achieved that and more. I really believe, whether it is that you are mapping your brain and you're teaching yourself to see it, or if it's just the fact that you start to believe it and start moving towards it, whatever it is, I believe that works.
It absolutely works. And, you know, and then of course you first have to understand that we do have limiting beliefs. Like, we all have them. That's like, to me, you know, every day, not every day, but I try every day to go to the gym and exercise. It's one of those things. Another thing that I do is really checking in with myself and where's my thermostat? What am I thinking? What's, you know, you've got to constantly check in with yourself, and meditation helps, and surrounding yourself with the feedback that you're looking for in terms of motivation helps. But it's, you've got to do it constantly.
So what do you think you've learned about yourself in this process?
I've learned that, and you mentioned this before, that I'm a risk taker and that I'm really motivated by that, but not in a willy-nilly manner. I mean, I'm very organized and very methodical.
You're very calculated.
Yes. Yeah. I've learned that I require a lot of wrangling. And I'm usually the one, I wrangle my clients, but I guess, you know, it's like a mirror thing. I require a hell of a lot of wrangling mentally, not so much emotionally, but, you know, sometimes if I don't get it in mentally, then it trickles down to the emotions. Look, it's just, it's like your metabolism. Like, you've got to go to the gym to keep your metabolism up. You've got to work on yourself and keep yourself in line so you can keep your thoughts straight in moving in the right direction.
Now, I'm sure that you've read a book or two along the way that has inspired you in this direction.
Yes.
Can you share that with my listeners?
Well, there are so many, but one that I love is The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. I just think it kind of nails the synthesis of, you know, the spirituality and, you know, being successful. And, you know, we don't seek to be successful just in business or just in family or just in, you know, friendship. We want to be success. The mark of true success is having success on all the fields. So I highly recommend that book. And again, it will impact not just your work life, but your entire life. And then one other book that's a little maybe less known is called Good to Great by Jim Collins. And it looks at it looks at businesses, and it talks about why some businesses basically plateaued at good and the tipping point where some of them became great. And I think that you can look at that and you can not only apply it to a business, but you can apply it to, you know, if you work for somebody, like who you are as an employee or who you are as a friend, who you are as a parent, there are lessons in there that are applicable, again, across all fields.
Now, which of the businesses that you've taken part of and which role would you say has been your favorite so far?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's changed. It's evolved. It used to be being an editor. I loved being an editor. I loved taking something that was good and making it great. Now I love helping people. I feel that I have really honed my own ability to zero in on what's moving others. And I love helping them kind of lock into that and then showing them how they can then make that into a business and then, you know, and make that into their life and then their lifestyle and how it all kind of works together. I think it's the greatest honor to be able to serve, and we all serve in different capacities, of course, but I feel that that's definitely one of the things like I'm put on this earth to do is to help others reach a level of success and liberation.
I think it's so amazing to have a skill that you can share with other people that benefits them.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing ever. And it's, you know, it's a give and take, and it's such a nice energy exchange to talk to people and to work with people. And, you know, not only talking about, you know, my clients that I work with for an hour, it could be like, you could be talking to your neighbor and they're telling you, oh, my son has this business, and you just kind of off the cuff share a tip. And it's like, oh my God, okay, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could do that for free. Like, that's, I've been so lucky to learn so much about all different aspects of business. And I feel even luckier now that I can share that with others.
Yeah, trust me, I know the value of that because I need some of that myself where I'm at right now in my life.
Happy to help.
Okay, so here's the Express to Success section of our show. So it's a quick 60 seconds response because I believe in order to get people to act, they first need to be able to see themselves in it. And then they need to see what their options are to get it done. Gotcha. And then they need to take that first step. So envision, explore, execute. In order to start your own business, what do you think people need to envision?
They need to envision themselves doing whatever it is they love doing. If you love singing, envision yourself singing. If you love horseback riding, envision yourself horseback riding. They need to get really right with themselves and really unearth, like, this is what I love. I have, and it doesn't matter if you have no idea how you can make money from it. This is what I love. and envision yourself doing it.
And envisioning is just dreaming at first. So people, you know, I really hope that people out there aren't limiting themselves in that process. Because I know the reason I came up with these steps, Jillian, is because I'm like, you know what? I think I want to go to school to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I had to envision myself in the role, standing in a classroom. Yeah. What would my classroom look like? What do my students look like? How am I moving about the room? What am I wearing? How do I feel walking down the school hallway and being in a school building as a job? You know, I mean, I'm so visual. I'd go to the cafeteria in my head. You know, I'd see myself at night grading papers, the color pen and stickers or whatever. You know, doing all of those things and feeling like living it in my thought first.
Well, and feeling it. I think that's a huge thing too, because the universe responds to your feelings also. So if you can feel it, you know, what, and that's a huge thing. I mean, that will actually help it manifest even faster.
Right. So then to explore, what do they need to explore?
Then that becomes a practical thing. Get on, start talking to people. So let's say you love singing and you, there are no singing schools in my town. Start talking to people. Was there ever a singing school? Do you know anybody who would be interested? Start to go online, think of a name, research the name, you know, just start kind of making it real. It's like when you're pregnant and then you start telling people and then you start to talk about the baby and the baby needs this and that. That's basically you're incubating your idea. So start to give it life by thinking about it and talking about it and writing about it and kind of mapping it out.
I love that. And you know what I like too that you said? And it just made me realize why I would do this. Give it a name. If you give it a name, it becomes your own.
Right. Absolutely.
That's pretty interesting. And it's funny because everybody, Jillian also has a puppy because they know I have a puppy who's been giving me a hard time. And you have a puppy who Henry, who's been really great so far during the interview.
I know. I see the landscaper.
Oh, no. Okay. So to execute.
To execute, there's pre-execution, you know, which is basically you've given it a name, you start talking about it. But basically, take pen to paper. When you start to write something, your brain starts working, it makes it real, and you start to think analytically about and about what you need to do, and you actually start to convince yourself it can be done. Because, you know, okay, well, I need a small studio and let, you know, and then you do the research. Okay, that might cost X amount. And basically it's like a little baby business plan. And that is going to be your map. And if you don't have a map, you'll never get to where you're going. Of course, down the line, you're going to expand on that map. But for now, you know, I'm at point A and I want to get to point B. And here's what I think the steps are to get there.
Okay, so closing advice for my audience.
Oh, gosh. Do not waste another minute in a life and a job that does not make you happy. We are put on this planet to live in joy. Things can change in a nanosecond. So if there is something that feels lacking for you or something you've always wanted to do, start to think about it and start to think about, maybe other people do this. Maybe I could too. And just go for it.
Okay. So are you on Facebook?
I am.
We need to become friends on Facebook.
Yes, we do.
And then I will add you to our private group.
Cool.
And listeners can get in touch with you that way. But what other contact information would you like to share?
So people can go to bellwetherbranders.com, which is a nightmare to spell. So you can also go to BW Branders. You can find me on Facebook. It's BW Branders, Twitter, BW Branders.
Jillian, I just want to really thank you for coming on the show today. I love the information that you gave my listeners. I personally find starting businesses so exciting. I love the challenge. And so I can totally relate to you and why this is your passion. I think it's great that you're able to live this in your life. So thank you for coming on and sharing all this great information.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I'm so inspired by what you're doing and excited to connect with you and to know you. And I'm excited to be a part of your network now.
Thank you so much. I feel the same way. So I always end my show with a go-do. Do you have a go-do that you would like to share with everybody today?
Yes. When you finish listening to this, wherever you are, I mean, if you're driving, pull over, but other than that, get up and go outside and go for a 10-minute walk. Don't take your phone, don't take your music, and just be and breathe and look around at the beauty and the majesty that surrounds us every day. And just think about, what do I want? And just, you don't even need to have an answer. If you put it out to the universe, it will boomerang back to you. Maybe not during the course of the walk, but soon. Just think, what do I want? And kind of just be chill with it and zen with it. And you will be amazed at what comes back to you.
So listeners, you heard it. That's Jillian's go-do for you today. So she says, go do it. Take a walk. Be one with nature. Move freely about the cabin. Leave your phone at home. And then just sit back and wait for the universe to speak to you. Jillian, thanks again.
Thank you so much. I really thank you for everything. And I had such a blast. And I hope to do it again sometime in the future.
You're welcome. And listeners, remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.